Welcome, everyone, to the WBAI Local Station Board Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI Local Station Board Treasurer, and therefore I am the chair of this committee, and I'll be chairing the meeting. Okay, the first thing that we are required to do is to set the agenda. And so I'm going to make that motion right now. And so I move that we adopt the following agenda. 1, call to order 7 p.m. 2, approval of agenda 20 minutes. 3, identify timekeeper 2 minutes. 4, excused absences 5 minutes. 5, minutes approval 10 minutes. 6, Treasurer's Report, 15 minutes. 7, General Manager's Report on WBAI's Finances, 30 minutes. 8, Set Next Meeting Date, 5 minutes. 9, New Business, 10, Adjourn No Later Than 9:30 p.m. Okay, that's the motion. Is there any debate on that motion, or amendments or anything else? Hearing none, is there any objection to going to a vote? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as presented? Hearing none, it's passed. Okay, let's see. The next thing on the agenda is approval. Identify timekeeper. Who would like to be the timekeeper?
I'll do it.
Okay. Okay, so Jeffrey Stern offers to be timekeeper. Is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern is the timekeeper. And the next thing we're running into is excused absences, and we in fact have some. Okay, and right now I'm going to check a final time, see if there are any new requests, and we don't have them. So, I will move. Is somebody calling me there?
Who did you get?
Some of the phones are making noise here, so it's...
Can you name who you got excuses from?
Yes, I'm about to do that. Okay, folks, what happens is I am typing with one hand, which means usually one finger, while I'm trying to watch what's happening and keep the meeting going. So I am not moving that fast. Okay, so where do I have that? I have at the bottom of this. Okay, I move to excuse the following. Put it in there. I move to excuse the following members. Excuse their absences: John Hoffman, Michael D.D. White, and Serene Roberts. Okay, so that's the motion on the floor. Any debate on that motion? Hearing none. Is there any objection to excusing John Hoffman, Michael D.D. White, and Serene Roberts? Hearing none. That motion is passed without objection. They are excused. Next item is minutes approval, and M.K. Williams, you have the floor.
Well, I sent the minutes on Monday, I think, this week. I hope people got them. And I moved to accept the minutes from our last meeting, which I believe was, I don't have my computer right now, April 19th. if that's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so the motion is to approve the minutes of the April 19th, 2023 Local Finance Committee meeting. Okay, that's the motion on the floor. Is there any, I just asked, okay. Is there any debate? Hearing none, is there any objection to passing the minutes of the April 19th, 2023 meeting? Hearing none, they are approved.
Yay.
Okay. Next is the treasurer's report, and that is something I will do here. I just wiped that out. Okay, good for me.
Point of information, Paul.
Yes, Jim Dingman, what is it?
Yes, is Otis streaming you right now?
Oh, God, I didn't check.
All right.
Yeah, you're on the stream now. I'm late, but you're on the stream.
Oh, okay. Otis is here. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let me write down who's here. Okay. Thank you, Otis.
Chair?
Yes.
Why don't you read the names of the people who are there for the secretary to listen to the recording later on? Or maybe it's... Anyway, I'm just suggesting.
What was that?
Do another roll call.
Oh, we want to do a formal roll call.
Yes.
We can do a formal roll call right now. Okay, we're going to do the formal roll call. And this time, this one is for keeps. Answer up when you hear your name, Jack DePalma.
Present.
Jim Dingman.
Here.
Bruce Grief.
Here.
Don Hoffman. Noel Jameson. R. Paul Martin here. Carolyn McIntyre.
Present.
Daryl McPherson.
Present.
Allie Murphy.
Here.
Berthold Reimers.
Yeah.
Doreen Roberts. James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Neil Voss.
Here.
Michael D.D. White.
Here.
M.K. Was that Michael D.D. White?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You're here. M.K. Williams.
Here.
Okay, so now we have 13. Okay, and typing fast with one hand is so tough. Okay, so that's what we have here, and we've done the roll call. We've done all sorts of stuff, and now we're going to do the treasurer's report. And what I'll do is copy that and put that here, and we'll get going with it. And okay. All right. Where is it? Okay. Okay. The National Finance Committee has been working on stuff and dealing with other stations' budgets. It's been dealing with current and future budget timelines, and the work of the national office in trying to meet various obligations. At the April 25th, 2023 NFC meeting, the committee held elections for officers. James Sagerton was reelected chair, and I was reelected secretary of the NFC. The executive director, the national business manager, and general managers and business managers had been going over the Pacifica Foundation consolidated monthly income statement for the 5 months ending Tuesday, February 28th, 2023. That's the big income statement. And at this meeting on April 25th, we were authorized finally to release it to the public. And so I sent that to the LSB and the Local Finance Committee mailing lists on April 27th. At that NFC meeting, the executive director noted that if Pacifica keeps approving deficit budgets, we can't move forward. She said that part of station management's job is creating a realistic budget and sticking to it. She said that if revenue goals are not made, that the budgets are just on paper and are not taken seriously. She stressed the importance of putting the information on revenue and expenses in each station's accounting system. The executive director noted that WBAI has bills entered as expenses, but they're not paid, and that gives a false impression of the actual financial state of the station. It can make it look as if the station has more money than it does. Apparently, there are a lot of legal bills hitting Pacifica right now. The executive director and the national business manager, along with Pacifica's general counsel, are trying to figure out what bills are legitimate and which still need to be paid. The executive director said that there were a lot of new vendors sending bills to Pacifica, and she and the national business manager are having to sort through those too. It's not clear why there's such a flurry of these new bills going on right now. WBAI uses software and a service named Allegiance to keep track of donations and donors. The executive director said that an Allegiance bill for WBAI had been paid for by donors. So thank you to those donors. Now the executive director is asking if those donors will pay some other bills. At that NFC meeting, I was tasked with bringing a proposal for a budget timeline to the next NFC meeting. I sent it in, and the next meeting ran out of time before we could do anything with it. And I think that for future fiscal years, the entire budgeting process should probably begin in February in order to give the local finance committees and local station boards enough time to process the budget proposals. We're already in the third quarter of FY23, so that's not feasible this year. The May 9th 2023 NFC meeting was mostly taken up with the consideration of the draft WPFW FY23 budget proposal. During these discussions, it was noted that WPFW and WBAI are collaborating and sharing resources on a number of things, including some news items from WPFW being broadcast on WBAI. The big news that came out at that particular NFC meeting was that Pacifica had applied on time to become a member of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the CPB. There was an enormous amount of work involved in it, and the executive director said that the application was more than 500 pages long, with a lot of exhibits included. The executive director said that we should know in October if Pacifica is back in the CPB and eligible to receive community service grants, which used to help Pacifica a great deal when we were in the CPB. As it turns out, however, Pacifica isn't getting the Nielsen ratings. Getting them would probably involve catching up on past due bills to the company that produced them, and Pacifica is not in a good position to pay those bills. So we owe, you know, it's back bills that we owe, and we're not able to pay those, I think. It's possible that Pacifica's lack of Nielsen ratings could be a problem because the CPB really wants to see those. WBAI and Pacifica are still running deficits. If the CPB grants come through again, that will be very helpful, but we couldn't receive any money from the CPB until sometime next year. We have to keep in mind that there is a new central services formula that will require WBAI to pay a monthly central services fee of something like $10,000 from now on. There are people in Pacifica who are really going to press BAI on that. At the LSB meeting last week, we were told that Pacifica may not have enough money to pay for the FY22 audit, and that could derail an attempt to get on the CPB membership. So it's not certain, but we're told, they're probably scrambling to try to raise the money. The next NFC meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that is my report. Anybody got any questions or anything?
Mario Massandrea, just go and tuned in.
Okay, Mario, I should... Okay, before we do, I should do this formal thing I need to do.
Oh, no.
Okay. I should do this. Okay, where is it? Here it is. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at three consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI local station board that for the local finance committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board, unquote. Okay, so Mario Mastrandrea is here. Is there anyone else who's here who wants to become a member and therefore wants to give me their name? Okay, I don't hear anybody, so... I figure there's nobody who has anything there. All right. Any comments on the treasurer's report? If none, we'll move on. Okay.
The next I'd like item, to comment on it. Or Paul, I'd like to comment on
okay, it. Okay. Jim Dingman, go ahead.
All right.
I don't have a question. Thank you. Sorry.
All right. I feel that the financial situation in the network is coming to a head pretty soon. A lot was dependent in terms of solving the immediate cash flow problems based on being able to sell the building in Los Angeles. Now, of course, the reason that we got into that situation was due to many factors over the past several decades, which everybody here is familiar with. So I believe that we're going to be moving into a particularly serious situation soon due to that lack of cash flow, because you've got literally like hundreds of thousands of dollars owed to vendors that at the national level is just, I understand, and Jim Sackerson can correct me on this, this bill is growing because there simply isn't the resources to pay it. So I personally think that we're going to be in a situation soon where we're going to return once again to the questions of if the building isn't sold in Los Angeles, and people will remember that during this period of time, and we've had several years where these inflection points have been in front of everybody's faces. People have stormed and yelled about let's deal with this, let's deal with that. And we haven't gotten to the point where we've actually turned the system around. We're going to be faced with, once again, the worst-case scenario options, which are the swapping and selling of signals. And we already saw that raised in the issue with Los Angeles, because some people immediately brought up the fact, well, why don't we swap and sell New York? Or why don't we swap and sell Los Angeles? And the whole purpose of fighting and trying to change the situation for the past couple of years was precisely to avoid these kind of circumstances occurring. And all we got instead has been one factional waste of time battle after the next, which has no relationship with any of these basic questions as to how to change the revenue streams of the stations. Zero. So I want to express that very strongly, because I think we're going to be going into a really serious crisis phase soon in the network, returning back to the good old days of Verniel and all those other schmucks we had to deal with in the past. Thank you.
Mario, to the stack.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we'll have a stack. I heard somebody else.
Yeah, that was Ali.
Okay, so we have Murph. Hold on, let me then Mario. Okay, anybody else want to get on the stack?
Daryl for the stack.
Okay. Anybody else want to get on the stack?
James
Sagerton. Okay, we'll put you on there. Oops. Anybody else want to be on the stack? Okay. We have four. Why don't we go with that right now? So the first person on the stack is Allie Murphy.
Yes. Paul, you said that WBAI has to pay a monthly fee of $10,000. And can you give a reason why they have to, and a reason why, and if the other stations, they also have to do the same thing? That's one question. And the other question was, you said that there is a lot of bill for the foundation from some vendors. And what was the other bill that you mentioned? You said something else before the bill from different vendors.
Okay, last part first. Legal. There was legal and other bills.
Okay, thank you.
We had a lot of bills. As for the central services, which looks like it would be about $10,000. Oh, God. Other stations have to pay more. That's based on WBAI getting, assuming, we get the lower rate because we are, distressed. Because WBAI is financially distressed, we get a lower rate, although they will, you know, keep track of it and will owe it. But, $10,000 would be central services fees, and that's for that's the national office central service fee. So that's something that's going to have to be looked at. I don't know. I don't see how we're going to do it. And as Jim says, things are going to get interesting soon. Okay, Mario, you're next.
I have a comment about what Jim said, but to you, R. Paul, the vendors. You mean the vendors are there's outstanding bills for to pay for premiums?
This is Pacifica I was talking about. I was talking about Pacifica and
bills. Okay.
Legal bills. They got a whole lot of legal bills, and all the executive director said was that there are suddenly a bunch of new vendors saying, you know, we owe them money. That Pacifica owes them money. That's what I have.
Well, yeah, they come out of the woodwork. All right. My goal is to maybe direct the comment to keep it local. Jim was talking about referring to the whole network as a whole and a revenue stream. I find it hard to believe that if BAI raised its revenue, it doesn't have to become, you know, whatever, but just raised its revenue stream, it would be, I don't think anybody would say, let's sell BAI if they were contributing a higher number into the kitty. So what is the New York, the fundraising committee, the LSB specifically doing to raise New York's revenue stream? And then you could just tell California and everybody else, we raised our revenue stream. I wish we can help everybody else. Maybe we can, but let's get rid of this. Let's sell New York because we're now, you know, contributing. So I would keep the focus on that. Maybe lead by example. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Next is Daryl McPherson.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to know what's the Pacifica debt and what's the New York debt today?
Let's see. Pacifica, last I looked, Pacifica, I think, was $433,000 in the red, and I think WBAI was just shy of $160,000 in the red. That was as of February 28th. Income statement we have.
Okay, so it's worse than that now. Okay.
Well, it's months later, so of course it's not. It's probably not getting better.
We'll see. Thank you so much, Walter.
Okay. Next is James Sagard.
Hi,
James, are you muted?
I'm here. I was muted, sorry. I just wanted to mention that the central services formula has not been adopted by the PMB yet. The NFC approved it. We hope that the PMB will approve it, but that hasn't happened yet. That's all.
Okay, yeah, all right. Thank you for that. Okay, anybody else want to be on the stack for questions or comments on the Treasurer's Report?
Berthold, I was on the stack.
Berthold, okay.
Yeah.
Berthold, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a few comments I would for my report. Question is, comment and questions. The budget, the WBI numbers are real. It's a deficit budget, but numbers are real. Second, I didn't understand what you said about WBI reporting its expenses, but not paying them all, and then we don't look, the numbers don't look right. It's either we do accruals or we do cash basis. When we do accruals, and the accruals show exactly, our income statement, which matches the national office. And we also have an accounts payable that's complement, that shows what's outstanding. If you could clarify that would be good for me, because it's a little confusing what they say. So that's that. The other question is, there are no new vendors at WBAI. No new bills, we might not be able to pay some 14 days or 20 days, but there are no exaggerated new anything. So I'm sorry, my question really was, what was that about the budget, the budget numbers that, whatever you reported, if you could repeat that and clarify it. And second, Allegiance, we pay the lease. Allegiance is at $230 a month. So we are up to date on Allegiance. So I'm not sure about that statement that keeps on repeating itself, that some donors paid for Allegiance. That needs clarification. I'm not sure what Allegiance is talking about for WBAI or WBAI Allegiance is paid. It's $230 a month. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. The thing about WBAI and the expenses, that's what the executive director told the NFC. And the basic thrust there is that apparently she's saying that WBAI, the way we're accounting for the for things is that we're showing like the bill, but we haven't paid it. And so apparently the national office is interpreting that when they get the bill as if it has been paid, but it hasn't been paid. And so that's what's going on there. It might be something that you should discuss directly with the executive director. Let's see. Okay, and okay. Yes, paying for Allegiance. That's exactly what she said. She said some donors had stepped up and had paid WBAI's Allegiance bill. So I thought we had been, you didn't send us anything at all this time, right? You didn't send us an accounts payable or anything this time, right? Bertel?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. No, I didn't send an accounts payable this time, but if we are behind in Allegiance, it's 1 month. The month of April, maybe, $230. I will investigate that, but I would like to push back on that, on the records. you know, unless there's some more general bill, yearly renewal bill for our legions that I'm not really aware of, I will check up on that. But we do not, you know, I mean, we've owed them like 4 or 5 months because they never sent us a bill. So I sent them an email, nasty email, copied the ED and said that, you know, send us a bill, we'll pay you. And so we paid them $230 times like five, you know, so it's not a lot of money, $1,000 or something like that, $1,500. So we're all caught up, except maybe for May, April or May, I'm not sure. But that's $230. We can pay that like in 2 seconds. The second thing is, I don't like to be confrontational, but I'm going to push back on the expense thing. Because one of the things that we're always accused of is that, accused of in the network in general, is that, you know, you have to be transparent. You have to show all your expenses. All of our expenses are recorded in QuickBooks, and Markeisha goes in every month, and she looks at QuickBooks. She also looks at Chase. She reconciles the account, and so we know exactly how many bills are outstanding. There might be issues where, as of I'm not totally up to date on putting all the bills in QuickBooks, because I'm only one person. But that's less than the 2 weeks, two, 3 weeks max situation. So I will go sporadically and look at everything. Like I normally, what I would do is I would look at 4 Times Square, 388, health benefits, Pacifica Radio Archives, Pacifica National Office, the phone bills. You know, so we can stay on the air. As you can see, these are all operating items. And I would put those in the system, and I would check to make sure they are current. You know, I double check. And then I would go into the consultant, which are the morning show hosts or something like that, you know, $125 per day, 4 days a week. And I would see if I put those bills in the system. And I will double check one by one every week to see if they were preempted to deduct $125 or $250 or whatever, so that I can have those bills current in the system. But the bills are, as of yesterday, very much current in the system, and Markeisha looks at them and knows what they are. Like 90% of them are regular, normal bill, same number. The accounts payable things that I usually send you guys is shared with Markeisha. She knows what they are, so we know what we owe. And so whatever is the statement here, I don't want to be confrontational, but I'll push back a little bit on that and say that we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do. And Markeisha, the business manager of CFO, knows exactly what we're doing and likes it. So if it's not a big deal, but I'd like to just clarify, and then the allegiance clarify, so that we can be clear about what's being done. Also, I can also be clear about what's being done or what's not being done.
Okay, so you're saying that a donor did not pay the allegiance bill?
Yes.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
We might be confusing that with the call center, ACG. We owe them a bunch of money. And that's part of my report. The executive director has been working with us and ACD pretty intensely. ACD is willing to invest in NWBI to pay some consultant to help us find ways to increase our revenue. They will take the cost because they believe that helping us increase our revenue significantly will help us pay their bills and then pay them regularly on time in the future. So this is if you could say a donor, they are investing in us. They might even invest in building a website for us, which costs a lot of money, at least $10,000-$20,000. So these are that might be ACD, call center, Allegiance. Those might be confusing. Even myself, at one time, I used to mix ACD and Allegiance. Uh-huh. Maybe conveyed.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that, and that is good news. ACD is helping us, and I think I heard somebody call Time in a minute ago.
I do.
Okay. Timekeeper is called Time.
Yeah. I'd like to sign in.
Who's this?
Noel Jameson.
Noel. Okay, let me go up here. And Noel is present. And
thank you.
John Hoffman isn't here. He got an excused absence. Serene Roberts not here. She got an excused absence. And everybody else is here. Okay. Unless somebody wants to move to extend the time, we're going to go to the next item.
Sure, what is the next item, Marco?
General Manager's report.
Oh,
Chair, can you hear me?
I can ask him the questions then. Okay.
Somebody else is asking if
Chair,
I hear them.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Is that Chair,
can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Well, that wasn't me with the horn. Thank you. I want to move to extend for 5 minutes.
All right, the motion is to extend the time for this item by 5 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, we're extended for 5 minutes. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 1945. And will people mute themselves if they can, because we're getting some extra noise. Okay, so James Agerton, I gather you have something you want to say here, right?
Yeah, not so much to say, but I wanted to, or not so much to say that's new, but to respond to some of the things that were said. One of the things was someone asked, what are we doing to improve the revenue stream? And I think that we've got the public service announcements that people have noticed, which is something that has been done to increase our revenue stream. It's been quite successful in terms of increasing the revenue stream. People have varying opinions about the announcements themselves. And also, we're going to do a 2-week fund drive coming up soon, and that's going to make our fundraising now a combination of the daily fundraising and, in this case, a single, but possibly in the future, a periodic, intensive period of fund drive, and perhaps that can increase our revenue stream as well. So I know management has been working pretty hard on all of that. The second thing is about the... what the executive director said, she did say that our bills are presented in such a manner that they look like they might be paid, so it makes the station look a little better than it might be in terms of the condition. And I think that was a general remark about QuickBooks versus, what's the name of the system we use? It's escaped me momentarily.
It's called Great Plains, although it's really something
Great
else,
Plains.
But we call it Great Plains.
Yeah, thank you. So it's QuickBooks versus Great Plains, and it's accrual versus cash, and it's, right, Bertolt gave the exact right explanation. It's how they straighten it out between his version of with QuickBooks and the business manager, the national business manager, entering the information into Great Plains, and it could be that the executive director may have been talking to the business manager about that. And, she generally is not, I don't think, intimately involved in the entering of it all. And Bertolt and Marquis should talk about that more. So that could have been the source of that discrepancy. And then also about Allegiance, she did specifically say that a donor paid the Allegiance bill. She said it more than once. And so I was curious about that, too. And I wondered if it might be, when we brought Allegiance on board, we were supposed to make 3 payments, which had to do with the installation of the software, starting up with them. And then the stations have been paying the bills. The stations that use it have been paying the bills as they go along. That's why Bertolt says it's $233 a month. And we are current or near current on that. So it could be that we made the initial, the payment for the installation was divided into three payments. We made the first one, and I believe then we didn't make the second one or the third one. And when the third one was due, they made a claim for us to pay both the second and the third one together, or else they were going to withhold service. And we talked about it with them, and the stations were coming up with their shares. And it could be that the donor paid for WBI's share of that installation amount. Or it could be, as Bertolt said, that it was a confusion of ACD, the call center, which the executive director has been working intensely with Bertolt on, and Allegiance, just confusing the two. So I just wanted to add those bits of information, such as they are, and that's all I had. Thank you.
May I ask, this is Mario, can I get on the stack?
Mr. Timekeeper, how much time is left? Mr. Timekeeper?
About 2 minutes.
Mr. Timekeeper, are you on mute? Jeffrey Stern. All right.
It was 7:50, and that's 7:50 now. So you're going to
okay.
have to get a new call.
Right.
All right. Sorry.
All right. If we want to go further on, this is still the treasurer's report here. If people want to go further on this, going to need to extend again, and I'll point out the general manager's report is the next thing. So do we want to just go to the general manager's report?
Yeah,
maybe?
I'll wait. I defer. I'll wait for that, Arpul.
Okay, we'll wait for the long time there. Okay. Okay, the next thing is the general manager's report on WBIS finances. Bertolt, you have the floor.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I missed the last meeting. I apologize. But however, I'm pretty offended that somebody is on. Can anybody mute? I'm waiting for everybody to mute. Is that okay, Apple?
People should mute right now. Okay, now I hear some. You know, I don't. That may not be muting problem. That may be some electronic problem on somebody's phone or something. So go along. Why don't you give your report and we'll see if it gets to be a problem, okay?
Okay. So, yeah, I apologize for not being able to make it last time. If I had called in, I would have been paying fees. So I kind of went in online and listened to the meeting. So I guess I could not report. I'm a bit offended that people think that, you know, I have kind of like a slave. I have this obligation to make every single meeting, even though the last time I missed any meeting, or when was that, maybe like 6 months or 7 months ago. I don't know if too many general managers or anybody being that consistent. So I feel that very offended, and I think it was somebody else from another station who was stepping in, and knowing that at their station, this is not how it goes. So I just wanted to put that on record on this meeting. Moving forward. So WBI need to raise more revenue. It seems to me that we're on at a point where we are about raising between $12,000 and $15,000 a month with PSAs, and then it's becoming very consistent. I think if we keep going that way, we probably will put that on the budget for next year. They are basically coming from the Department of Health and Transportation, as you know. And then we just got one from the Department of Education. In fact, we also got one from the Department of Health talking about nutrition, which is very different from the one we had talking about our COVID vaccine. So about nutrition, proper nutrition seems to be more going down the line of our listeners. So we are doing rather good on that. We need to focus on Department of Sanitation and Department of, Minority Affairs, focusing specifically on minority women, pregnancy, and birth rates and stuff like that. So it seems like we are going in the right direction. The question is at what speed? and then who else is participating in helping us. I'm glad to say that it's just not Linda and I. We had a few people who sent us suggestions, and the Department of Education actually was suggested to us by Wee Jacob, one of our producers. So I think that's the way to go. So that's the way to go. I think it was a good thing. I'm particularly proud that this was brought in by a producer and not by me or Linda. I think that is needed. I think that is needed for us, you know, for our soul, for us to be solvent and for us to be, you know, balanced. Jim Sagerton already mentioned the 14-day drive that is going on. The 14-day drive is starting this Monday. It was supposed to start on the 15th, but there were supposedly tower. They were fixing the tower at Fort Tyler, so we had to postpone that, which was actually a good thing to give Catherine Davis, who has been at BAF for a very long time and has the experience organizing, preparing the days. It's not going to be what we wanted. We needed more time, and producers needed to be more proactive, which is what I've been saying. No one has been listening, but, you know, I mean, it seems like I needed to let somebody else experience that. Somebody was poor producers, supposedly, so that we can understand, you know, what we are facing. Some people just don't understand how it works. Some people make promises and have a hard time keeping up with it because it's a lot of work, and then the work is very elaborate, and then you know, there's a lot of demand to come up with premiums, to collaborate with the fund drive coordinator, and then to come up with deadlines, and to put it together, and a final product is difficult. So the good news is we had like a 2-hour meeting today with the executive director and the people from ACD and marketing folks and all of that stuff, talking about the message, segmenting the message and focusing on, well, right now the immediate focus is on how many email blasts can we send about this fund drive. You know, obviously we're going to open something called a We Did It page. For the specific drive, that's going to be one page that has all the premiums we're offering. That focus on this drive is probably going to be called, I don't know, spring or whatever, whatever season it is, 2023 drive. You know, and then all the information about this drive are going to be there. There might be a sci-fi special. This is something I've been pushing for a long time, pushing Mike Sargent, Jim Floyd, and all of them. I have no idea what's going on, but I'm glad I have no idea, and it's happening. I passed it on to Catherine Davis, and somewhat it seems to be happening. So, you know, we also did really good with Harry Belafonte and the Harry Belafonte Day, which was a very low pitching, a lot of content, still made us about $5,700, and that's very promising. You know, it was very little pitching, and that was a good part of about that. So we're looking at the model, we're looking at what's happening, and you know, we are working also with someone trying to see if we can get some grants, or somebody who's actively doing grants, and then we'll see. In the future, how that works. I think we have a benefactor that might pay that person 2, 3, 4 months so that they can put in some work. I know that 2-3 months is not going to help, but it might put us in a way where we can see where we're going, and hopefully that benefactor would invest in more, in paying more that person more to do what they're doing. So that is that's basically it. People always say that I'm always on the positive, but we know the negative. We know that we are raising about $88,000 a month for the past 25 months, from April 2021 to April 2023, 25 months. We have raised an average of $88,000 a month, which is about $12,000 short of $100,000. And $100,000 is a minimum goal, right? But even if you were to actually
just take that minimum goal, and let's assume that if we meet that goal, we would be okay. If you take that $12,000 deficit and you multiply it by 25, you know, it jacks up to a lot of money. Even that, you know, so to give you an idea of what we need to do and how we need to approach this and get to that point, to cut that $12,000 deficit, we really, really, really would need another $20,000 on top of that per month to really fully operate it and have an executive producer and that kind of stuff. So that's basically my report. I hope there'll be a lot of questions so I can clarify and then give more information about anything that.
Okay. I go first. The first thing is, you did send us that last month. You sent us the an invoice from the radio. Oh God, I can't get. Okay, I'm not going to bring it up and waste time looking for it. The radio, what's its name, that gives the stations like PAI the Nielsen ratings, and that was an invoice, but that thing, we didn't pay that, right? Because it showed that we would have ended up, you know, paying like 14 grand a quarter by now. Or no, was it 3 grand? 14 grand a year or something for 2023. But we're not paying that. We owed those people money at this point, right?
You're talking about Arbitron. We owe them about four quarters.
Right, Nielsen's, yes. So we owe them for four quarters, so we're not going to, they're not going to give us any more free stuff, so we got to pay that up for. So we are not
Normally the current quarter, does not affect us getting the report. So if we are to pay for three quarters, about a good $10,000 or $12,000, my sense is that they would probably give it to us.
Really? Okay. What do you think the odds are of us being able to do that? Because this might affect Pacifica's ability to get into the CPB again.
Well, here's my point. I know that other stations owe them a lot more money. So if there's a need for us to really step it up to pay them, for example, this 14-day drive, we could dedicate $10,000 to them. Or, you know, maybe the finance committee can try to raise like half of it or a quarter of it. But that's not going to help the system.
Well, at least we won't be, you know, among those who are making it so there's no audit and stuff. But anyway, okay. All right, so we owe them four quarters, and we're not getting it. And you figure we're probably, from what you say, we're not going to make a real effort to pay that back amount at all, you figure?
Say that again.
Okay, so you figure that we're not really going to make an effort to pay the back bills to get the Nielsen ratings at this point because other stations are not doing it either?
Well, I'm going to send them one quarter and reach out to them and ask them how much they need.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, the other thing is, now we've been told that the new central services formula hasn't been approved by the PNB yet, but it did pass the National Finance Committee. And my question is, How do you see us being able to maybe pay a good portion of that? Because my feeling is that once that goes into effect, there are going to be people really pressing for WBAI to pay central services fees again. And how do you think we're going to fare on that?
Well, awful. The bottom line is that, as I have always done, I put my head down and I do what I need to do for WBAI and Pacifica. If the executive director feels that if we at least get one Arbitron numbers, then we would be okay, then we will make the sacrifice. We will tell the so-called some of the consultants to slow down. We will put another 2-3 hours of fund drive.
Yes, the mayor.
Which is not a good thing.
Fantastic. That has been beautiful.
Yeah, I'm listening to Dia at the same time. Sorry. So we would do whatever it takes. You know, I mean, if you know, central service is $16,890 a month, every month. This would be a $10,000 one-time effort.
That's my fast estimate based on your budget. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the central service. But I'm saying for this bill, it would be about $10,000. $12,000 for a one-time effort just to get the report so that we can qualify for CPB.
So
sacrifice can be made. We can saturate the air. Unfortunately, things we don't want to do to raise another couple of thousands of dollars and stuff like that. Hopefully, the finance committee can come up with $2,000, $3,000 one quarter. We can help come up with 2-3 other. Well, you never know, right? You know, there's different projects going on, and we will pay that. We are not that far away from being able to pay that.
Really?
If needs be, you know. We have paid all our bills so far. I mean, all the major bills. I mean, understand when I say all our bills, I'm not talking about central service, and then I'm not dismissing central service. I'm trying to explain to you, like, you know, the health benefits, payroll, that kind of stuff. So if the executive director says, you know, I send an email, we talk with the CFO, we have health care coming up, or we have payroll. Should we pay payroll first and then pay health care 7 days later and forget about a call center? Or something like that. You know, we make decisions.
Well, the answer to that one's easy. You pay payroll because you're legally required to.
Yeah. And then healthcare, you know,
then you help because you're legally
health.
Required to.
Yeah.
So those
and
are
then,
easy questions.
And then also for Times Square, which would be necessary for us to stay on the air. So it's not always that obvious.
Let me clarify this. I think my question is lost here. We have not been paying regular central services fees. They're going to press us to do it, and my calculation, based on your projection for the FY23 budget and the formula that's in the central services fee formula that is going to get probably passed by the PNB, I estimate BAI is going to have to come up with about $10,000 to pay central services fees. And do you think we could do that?
What we would have to do is we would have to dedicate the money that comes from the PSA to central service. And act like we never received them. I mean, there's a bunch of them we haven't received yet, by the way. The Department of Health, the Department of Transportation is a little behind, and that kind of stuff. So, you know, that money, they come in usually as checks. So that check could be deposited, and then as soon as they deposit it, wired to Pacifica or Central Service, you know, if that is demanded. I mean, this is money that we never expected to have that we're starting to bring in. What we need to do, though, we need to raise back the fund drive to the level that we had before by, like, I don't know, 4 or 5% more to where we were before. So that way we could dedicate the PSAs to central service. I don't know if James Hargitter has something that you could say about that.
Well, that was my part of the question, but I'm glad you see the idea of just putting the PSA revenue against central services fees. That might work, because I think we're really going to have to pay central services fees starting real soon. Okay.
My only concern is when everyone, including myself, are going to accept and consider the PSAs steady enough to be put in the budget, that is something to be watched. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't say this is the budget, and if it's not consistent, I may say, well, I don't want to put it in the budget, and the National Finance Committee or you guys might say, no, it's not consistent. We need to see this for over a year or over 6 months or 8 months, and then we'll put it in the budget. So that's the only caveat.
Okay. All right. By the way, suggesting the Finance Committee raise tons of dough, that really doesn't work, and we won't get into that argument right here. But do other people have questions or comments on the General Manager's Report? I'll take a stack.
Mario,
yeah, we'll see that.
Jim to the stack.
Okay, I have Mario Mastrandrea, Jim Dingman, who else?
Daryl McPherson.
Daryl? Anybody else? Once, twice, three times. Okay, Mario, you go first.
All right, a couple of questions and then a comment. To Berthold, so every month, about how much is the station short in that $120,000 a month needed, approximately?
About $31,000. It should be about $25,000. It went up a little bit.
Okay. So is Pacifica making that deficit up?
Is Pacifica doing what?
Is Pacifica paying or helping or making that deficit up?
Okay, so I'm glad you asked that question, and I'm a little frustrated about that question, because here is the deal. Since I've been general manager at WBI, Pacifica has never paid our bill. When we talk about the deficit, we're really talking about the money that we're not paying Pacifica, not money like the $16,890 and the $4,220 to Pacifica Archives. If you can see, if you take those two and you add them up together, they come up close to $22,000. Which used to be our deficit. So when we say we have a deficit, it's mostly extra money we needed to pay Pacifica that we don't have.
Okay.
Now it's gone up by another $5,000. So that's why we are behind in paying a few vendors. In the past, not recently, put up $15,000 to add to money that we had because we were short to pay a bill, and then the next month we went in and paid that bill. I mean, we had 1 or 2 months of central service of health benefits and one payroll or two payroll that we skipped. But in general, that doesn't happen. We pay our payroll, we pay our bills. Pacifica does not cover our bill. We just don't have money to give them for central service. That's the bulk.
So am I correct in gathering that takes about $86,000 to $90,000 to run the station now, not $120,000, outside of that money that's owed Pacifica every month?
outside of the money that owed Pacifica, I wouldn't put it that way. We are raising about $88,000 a month fund drive. We have another $18,000 we're raising with BI Buddy separately, you know, and then a few other money that comes in. So I would say that, I'll check the number again, 120, 140, really what is really needed. But, you know, the bottom line is we are short $31,000.
Okay, the $88,000 includes the PSAs?
The $86,000
that you raised includes the PSAs?
No. The $88,000 are just premium and fund drive pitch and stuff like
then
that.
Then you have buddies and then PSAs. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We are still short $31,000 now because it's not just coming in.
Okay.
Some of this money we haven't collected. And so also, you know, we dipped in fundraising these past 3 or 4 months. Now, you know, the average of a 25 month is 88, but if you probably look at the average over the past, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 months, it'd probably be 70 something.
Okay,
I would
thank
take
you.
A look at that.
All right, a quick question before a comment or suggestion. So the Belafonte family, or Belafonte himself, he didn't bequeath or donate anything to BAI. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now the premiums, that seems to be a good working model of how you do the premiums, and correct me if I'm wrong. So this way, then there's no outstanding bills, so it's good. I think that's a good working model as far as premiums go. So again, to make sure I understand this, the premiums are ordered head by head. So in other words, how many people order a premium, then you order the premiums from the vendor.
Yeah, we usually order, you know, like 5, 6, 7, depending on the volume extra, because there are a lot of people who pledge and are not paying.
Okay, got it.
I haven't paid yet, and they will send a check later. So we have like 5, 6 extra, you know, sitting around.
Right, but I'm saying it's good to do it that way, because then it doesn't leave you any outstanding, you know, bills with the premiums. It's like whoever orders ABC premium, if there's 20 people, you order 20 premiums once you got 20 donated.
We don't, it's one of the things that Steve Brown, you know, had a big issue with me, and we had a big fight and argument about, is that they wanted me to order premiums in advance. And then, after we ordered the premium in advance, that way we can send them out. But what happened if you order 100 premium and only 20 of them are sold? Plus, we didn't have the cash. We didn't have the cash to order the premium in advance to begin with.
Exactly. Okay. One quick comment. Thank you very much. The consultants. I know everybody's trying to work and hustle and trying to make something, but the consultant, I guess you're watching that if you know, you're watching their hours, right? So you stay within the $88,000 or whatever, or the budget of monthly. So maybe you can control that on a need-to-need basis, you know, because that's what you can do that with consultants, you know. If, I can't afford to have you do 40 hours this week, you could do 20. Is that something that you're keeping an eye on?
I would say that's already been done, and that's already baked into how we manage consultants.
Okay.
We pay people like 100.
I can't hear you
like,
now.
Yeah. You know, so it's...
I can't hear him.
It's very difficult. Yeah, it's very Bert, difficult.
Are you in a tunnel or something?
I'm in a building.
You're echoing,
yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Bertold, are you done there, I think?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Next person on the stack is Jim Dingman.
Our Paul, before you go on,
I don't know if you heard me asking to be on the stack at the end of the list.
I'll put you, okay, I'll look, you may be on there. I'll put you on. Jim Dingman, you have the floor.
All right. you know, as I mentioned in the beginning of this, the comments when our poll had given his report, we have the macro situation where Los Angeles is underperforming dramatically. From the point of view of the others on the board, and nationally, New York is performing dramatically underperforming. And we have problems with PFW, our best market share station, and also Houston is not necessarily growing that much, and Berkeley is frankly not growing that much also. So you have the macro problem of the money in the general sense. Then you have the other problem that the outstanding short-term payables is growing. I don't know what it is now. Probably our Paul and Jim have a better handle on it. I've not heard the estimates from the past 2 weeks, but let's say it's probably 2.5, 2.4, at least in terms of 2.5, 2.4 million. So that's another problem going on. And then, of course, we have the constant bitching and moaning at the national level about the underperformance of New York. Now, I defend the fact that we have to retain all these different people working in New York in the situation and job there. And the problem that we have all the time is that we're not generating – let me finish my comment. The other person went on for quite a long time. We're not generating enough revenue to sustain this budget. And the fundraising committee, frankly, is not performing – I mean, it's a difficult task for them, understandably. They're not meeting the bill on that one at all. So we're left with a fundamental problem as to how to change this situation around and for the better. The RRC that was referred to earlier, the Radio Research Corporation, which both it's not Arbitron anymore, Nielsen, we do indeed have to come up with annually reports to them. And we weren't able to do that for the filing that we made just now, and also we were also required to come up with FSRs, which is even more important, which if we fall behind that again, that can really cause a problem. So they're required also for the CPB, and they're required for us to get any kind of fundraising from any kind of nonprofits or grants from foundations, et cetera. So we've got those real structural problems, and the big problem that has to be confronted is how do we generate revenue locally in New York? And unless there's changes in the programming, it ain't going to happen because you cannot depend on just simply PSAs. I'm all in favor of the PSAs. We haven't even talked about underwriting. The board passed a mandate that people actually implement underwriting policy, and the only station that's really done it is New York at this point with the PSA issue. But we still have that open. So those are the kind of problems that I know are facing. And our poll's right. They're not going to be compromising about the issue of giving us a break in terms of the inability to pay central services. So we're going to be faced with the fact that, okay, they haven't sold the building in Los Angeles, which was the strategy to get the short-term payables out of the way, knock out the FJC loan. So what else is left as an option? And I hate to say it, but they're going to return to the swap and sell option, which is to some people, you know, oh, that'll solve all our problems. Let's swap New York for $25 million or $35 million. And we know that that would kill New York completely. So until people start facing that fact and confronting that fact, all these discussions just amount to complete bullshit as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, we have to deal with that fundamental problem. And that is the fundamental problem, how to change the situation in New York and Los Angeles for the better so we don't have to face these terrible, terrible quandaries of having to swap or sell a signal. And trust me, that's the next phase we're going to see us come through in the next 6 months, unfortunately.
Thanks.
Okay, right now time has been called, and we have two more. Okay, folks, everybody come to order. Time has been called, and we have two people on the stack. Does anybody want to make a motion to extend the time for this item?
Extend for 5 minutes, Darryl McPherson.
Okay.
Maybe 10.
Okay, so the motion is to extend the time for this item by 5 minutes. Did I hear somebody saying something about that?
Somebody said 10 minutes.
Somebody said to amend it to 10.
Daryl said there's some move to amend to 10.
Okay, so it's 10 minutes then? Okay, it's 10. All right, so the motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, it's passed, and Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 2025 at this time. Okay, the next person on the stack is Daryl McPherson. Go ahead, Daryl. Daryl, are you on? Daryl? We don't hear you, Daryl. Okay, maybe he's on mute or let me look. Maybe he dropped off. I don't know. Why don't we go next to James Sagerton, and if Daryl comes back on, then we'll put him after Sagerton. Okay, Sagerton, go ahead.
Thank you, Bob. I just want to do a little cleanup with some additional facts, as I did before. On the CPB has access to all of the Nielsen's information. So I'm going to bring it up with the executive director. And Jim, I don't know if you know this or not. Do we really need to supply them with the Nielsen's information? Because they have the Nielsen's. That's what they use to check from the information that people supply to them to see if it's accurate. So we may be able to have a workaround around not having the Nielsen's. Jim, do you know anything about that? Harpal, is it okay if I ask him a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jim, are you there?
Jim? We don't hear you, Jim. Are you on mute? Are you on mute, Jim? Oh, my. Okay. I don't think...
I'll ask him later. I just thought it would be easier to ask him then.
Okay, you'll ask him later.
Okay, and then the next thing was we were doing rough calculations on what the central services formula would result in us being necessary to having to pay. At $105,000 a month, our central services fee at 15% would be $15,750. We negotiated an 8%, as Paul pointed out earlier, an 8% rate for the stations that are in distress, which would be WBAL and KPFK. And at that rate, it would be $8,400 a month. But that's only for 1 year, and we're already practically in June, and we go by fiscal year, of course, so we're more than halfway through the fiscal year. And the 8% rate has already been used up because we haven't paid much, if any, in central services yet. So going forward, we're going to need to pay at least $15,000 a month. And by the way, that is the formula specifically was amended to say all revenue. So that means if we get a bequest or if we get a grant or some other income revenue comes in, we're going to have to pay 15% of that as well. And then finally, it was stated that there was a mandate on underwriting, and it actually was not a mandate, it was an opportunity. It was any station that wishes to opt in to doing underwriting may do so. And there's a whole list of things that we can't do. Anybody that, you know, is involved in petrochemical pollution or union busting. We had a whole, you know, discrimination of any kind. We had a whole list of entities that we wouldn't accept underwriting from. It's not like huge corporations are lining up out there to do underwriting for our tiny audience anyway, but we built in protections into that underwriting motion to protect our style of broadcasting. And just to reiterate, finally, it was not a mandate, it's an opportunity. It's stations wishing to opt in may do so. WBI has done so, and many stations who do the kind of PSAs we're doing count that as underwriting, and I think CPB will as well. That's all.
Okay, we're getting some noise here, and somebody's got their phone and they're moving stuff around on it, and it's kind of noisy. Could I ask that people who are not speaking at the moment, please mute so that, you know, you're moving your phone around doesn't get onto everything and make it hard to hear each other. Okay. Daryl, are you here? Are you back? I'm hearing clicking. Daryl?
Can you hear me now?
Here.
Yeah.
Daryl? Other people shouldn't respond. Daryl, are you around? Are you on the call? Okay, I can't hear Daryl McPherson. All right, Mr. Timekeeper. Bertold? Hold on, folks.
Yeah.
Mr. Timekeeper, we have about 5 minutes left of this, I think, right?
Yeah, 5 minutes left, yes.
Okay. So, Bertold, were you trying to reply to something here?
Yeah, on stack, I just like to mention, can I have the floor?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, I thought I was going to get more.
Can you hear me?
All right, we've got other people. Bertold has the floor right now.
I just want
right
to know
now.
If you can hear me again.
Who's this? What?
Are you We're able to Darryl. Hear me again? This is Daryl.
Oh, Daryl. Okay.
All right. I'm going on mute. I just wanted to know if you can hear me again because I tried six. I tried star six, and
yeah.
It wasn't working. So let me go on mute and finish your conversation.
You have to mute your own phone because you can't mute your phone on Maestro. If your phone has a mute function, you got to use that. So what we'll do is Bertold is replying, and then we'll go to you, okay? All right, Bertold, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Okay, so first I thought there was going to be more question about the consultant, ACD consultant, and then the project. I didn't hear much of that. Second, you know, I always thought we could double or be our buddy or do 1.5 increase. They think that the adequate number is 3 times. So that would be $60,000. That would be another $40,000 more. And then that's one of the things they're going to focus on. I think we have the framework for this. We just need to know more what we're doing, have a little more resources and knowledge, and then push it. The other thing is that they confirmed that 30% of the revenue for any not-for-profit should basically come from grants. And that would mean, you know, $40,000 a month. So in other words, if you add another $40,000 a month from coming straight from grants, and then you triple your BI buddy, we would be, you know, in gravy land. So, you know, there's not something that's positive or negative or anything like that, but it's a goal to keep in mind. These are the two items that are very clear that could clearly put us somewhere more favorable. Maybe tripling the BI buddy is a dream. Maybe they should just think about doubling it. But the 40%, the 30% of grants coming from of revenue coming from grants is what I've heard all my life, and that's what I've heard said here. I think I've even heard Oppo say a number close to that. And these are the two things that we could keep our eye on the price and focus on these things, and see if we can get this number, our number, our revenue up. I'm done.
Okay, Daryl, go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Bertold, with regard to underwriting and the PSAs, is there a format or a method in which you can approach agencies to do that? Because the Department of Aging has about 5 different programs that would be perfect for BAI to be running PSAs for, in the context that we have a very old audience. Did you get my emails?
We have a pamphlet that is basically ready to go out. That's going to be folded 3 times, the 1 page folded 3 times. That's going to basically be something that we can give to
in the agencies. It's going to be printed professionally, laminated, good paper. And I think I'm going to print 1,000 of this now. It's not a lot of money. Send it to the printer, high quality, high resolution. And it's basically very simple. We charge $250 for a 15-second ad. or you know, we can make it 30 seconds, you know, 15 more seconds not going to hurt us. And we give additional free ads to anybody who signs up with us. When you take a look at it and you think about it, 5 days a week, 4 weeks, that's about $5,000 for the month. And then you will get worth of $10,000 worth. Because we will play it in additional time during the day, or we'll try to also place them with shows that are compatible with what you are promoting.
So it's just refer the information to you, and then you'll take care of it?
Absolutely. Or we'll take care of it together. Like Wooey and I, we worked together, went back and forth and talked. He presented them to me, and we spoke to them, and we convinced them this was a good investment for the Department of Education, which was basically, there are over a couple of hundreds of languages being spoken in New York. Did you know that you could get free translation if you need something translated? Or if you want, you can just officially call 311 and then get prompted to get to where you can get free translation, free notarized translation. You know, I mean, I don't consider that as an advertisement. That's a public service announcement. You know.
Right. Did you see that the city council has, on the other phone, they have a vote going on for the mayor's $5 million worth of discretionary funds. I sent it to you this afternoon.
Yeah, so I saw your email. Yeah.
Yeah. So would it be wise to run PSAs urging listeners to get their friends and families to drop BAR's name in the pocket?
Now more people are going to use. That would be a call to action. I don't think we can do that. We cannot just go and tell people to call the city council and lobby on our behalf as listeners. I think, I don't know, I'm not a legal person, but that doesn't sound right. What we had to do is what we did, or not enough, was sending them emails and letters and letting them know that 90% of them were interviewed on WBI. Can they, you know, earmark $5,000 to $10,000 for us? It's just that process wasn't done effectively because we need somebody dedicated to following up daily, and then that was not done.
What I'm attempting to do is to get the listeners to vote for WBAI on the ballot. It's a vote in New York City's participatory budget. Budgeting that ends June 25th. You can be as young as 11 years old, and they're cutting up $5 million worth of mayoral expense. And so you have to get people to vote for you. That's
maybe
the email.
Maybe Bertold should take this up with the general counsel and see, run that suggestion by the general counsel, Bertold, see if he says it's okay.
Well, I mean, other entities are in the running for this money.
Yeah,
does anybody understand what I'm talking about?
Bell, you're not teaching me anything new. We did this before, you know, and then we did get a lot of donation from like 5 or 6 different city council members. We went, before COVID, we went to their office and all that. I understand that. I think you refuse to understand that we cannot actually you know, do this effectively without somebody who is constantly dedicated to doing this. I mean, we send a few emails and follow up. You know, we let them know that we're important. Some of them responded, and that's it, you know.
This is different than what you're talking about. That's why I sent it to you. It's people at, in the district as young as 11 years old vote for what they want. And then the city council office tallies up the vote, and the agency that gets the most votes gets the money. Take a look at it, and I won't hold the meeting up any longer, but our poll, I'll send it to you, and maybe you can understand it. I mean, rather than me read it, it's where you get to vote for an agency, and like I said, you can be as young as 11 years old, and your immigration status fails to matter. However, let me ask, okay, so what about underwriting? Have they set the guidelines for underwriting, and how well did we do with the flowers for Mother's Day?
Berthold? Berthold, are you on mute?
I just don't understand the questions. I mean, why underwriting? We have 3 or 4 PSAs going on. That's as far as underwriting is going. That's our version of underwriting. We are pushing to get PSAs on the air. That's what underwriting is. We're also trying to get 1 or 2, how you call them again, publishing companies to say that they support the Leonard Lopez show, because he has a lot of people he interviews that are on his on that offers book that they publish, and that's basically it. You know, the board and then everybody else, the fundraising committee needs to step it up and help with that. You know, it's like there's not so much we can do. I mean, I know that you keep saying, I know you're busy, but there's no but. I am busy. You know, people always say, like, I said that before. I know you're busy, but there's no but. I know, you know, I'm busy. Yeah, I'm busy. I cannot do all of these things. I am human. You know, there's no but. I know you're busy,
Berthold,
but can you do that? No. So
I'm not asking you to do it. I'm asking you how it's done. I'm willing to do it if I understand how it's done.
Oh, the underwriting part is very easy. We don't like to call it underwriting. Basically, I mean, you know, Kiyokus and Ghost Horse is trying to get, for example, the gambling people of Native American, you know, who manage the gambling or whatever, which is not kind of something a little funny, but they're Native American, and then not to support the show, to say that we're going to support Native American programming, to donate money or something to say we support Native American programming. You reach out to those people, and basically Leonard Lopez, producer, has a list of all those people that they have interviewed on the air, and then the publishing company. So just calls them and basically says, hello, you know, Leonard Lopez has 1 million downloads. We have, we have one of the most sophisticated interviewing processes. We have long interviews and not those 20 seconds that you get, you know, so that, you know, really interest people on the subjects, on the books. So therefore, you know, it would behoove you to say that, you know, you support the Leonard Lopez show, you know, without any specific insidious thing. You know, that's a good show, blah, blah, blah. You know, $5,000, and then we play that in the 15 seconds every time in the Leonard Lopez show, and that way that show is supported. You know, that's just, you know, and that's for any show, Gays Against Guns. You know, my frustration is, how come, you know, the so-called gay show, or the so-called labor show, or the so-called housing show,
or the so-called whatever show, you know, we have all these so-called constituency cannot go and get the labor union to say we support building bridges and Bob Henry. So, I mean, basically, it's a process. You start the process. You have access to people. You reach out to me, and then I'll help you make it very professional, a very professional approach. And then I'll go and tell them who WBI is and what we do.
How much money did you make on the flower drive?
Very little. And then I knew it was going to be very little, but I wanted to be open to the possibility of collaborating with producers who are putting in effort.
So are we able to do something like that with other businesses?
That is exactly what we want to do. We want the Harlem Chamber of Commerce to say we're giving $10,000 a month to WBI because we are somewhat promoting small business in Harlem.
Wouldn't the show on Friday be able to help you with that? The show at 10 o'clock on Friday? Aren't they sponsored by the Harlem Chamber of Commerce?
Are you asking me specifically about that? I think that thing was the Mother's Day thing that they had three or four people who bought the flowers.
Okay. Bertold, I think he's asking you a question about the Harlem Connection program that's on Friday nights.
Yeah, that's the show that's supposed to lobby or whatever word you want to use. The Harlem Chamber of Commerce, because the whole point is to promote anything Harlem, anything that comes from Harlem, restaurants, artists, small business. You know, they interview them or they play the music that came to or were played or performed at in Harlem, and so they always interview one or two small business about what they are doing in Harlem, and so the Harlem Chamber of Commerce should be very interested in because we're somewhat doing their job, so they should be interested in promoting that show. And then that was the idea that when the show came to me, that was one of the sales points. We just never were able to do anything because we weren't sure what we could or could not do until the PNB decided to modify policies and allow us to try to figure out what we can do. It's just the same thing for Black State Backstage Story. You know, Marcia Pendleton had a lot of people who wanted to donate money to support the show because, it's talking about Black theater and Black producers and all that stuff, all those Black theater companies that, she interviews on BI, it's just a hard, very strong form of promotion, to tell you the truth, and better than PSAs and underwriting by interviewing those people and having interesting interviews and getting people interested in what they are doing. So, these are the ways that we lost some of that money because we didn't know what to do. We couldn't do anything. But now I don't know if some other arrangement were made, we're going to have to reach back to figure out if we can get that money, those people. You know, usually an opportunity of the lifetime of the opportunity.
Time.
Okay. Oh, whoops. Okay, time has been called, and let's see. I got to do something.
Paul, I sent you the thing about voting for the budgeting for the thing.
Okay, I'll look at it. So time has been called. Does anybody want to make a motion to extend it, or do we go on to the next agenda item? Hearing no request for any motion. Why don't we just go on to the next agenda item, which is set next meeting date. Okay, looking at the oh, God, Windows 10 annoys the hell out of me. Going on to the calendar here, today's May 17th. Well, why don't I suggest we try June 21st? Yeah, I'll move that and we can discuss it. Okay, I move that we meet next on June 21st at 7 p.m., etc. Mm-hmm. Any discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think we'll be meeting right on the solstice there. Maybe that will make it a magical meeting. All right, so the motion is to meet next on June 21st, Wednesday, June 21st at 7 p.m. by this. Okay, is there any discussion, any debate on that motion? Hearing none, is there any objection to meeting next on June 21st? Hearing none, motion passes without objection. And at this point, we would go on to new business. Does anybody have new business for the committee? Does anybody, if we don't have any other new business, does anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Okay. Is there any objection to adjourning at this time? Hearing none, the motion passes and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you all, Paul. Good night.